I'll call the Monday, December 17, 2012, Assembly Meeting Number 212-34 to order. And if you'll all rise to do the flag salute, Ms. Crane, will you lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Mr. Dipdal?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Present.
Mayor Sanford?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. We have three items for special order of business tonight. We have a proclamation honoring Mr. Thibodeau, a proclamation honoring the people who helped at the Gasnaw Apartments, and then some Parks and Rec landscape supervisor recognition after retirement. Wasn't retired? All right, good. Okay. All right, from the Office of the Mayor, City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, proclamation. Whereas Robert Bob Thibodeau served as a longtime member of the City and Borough of Juneau's Commission on Aging, and whereas Bob often appeared at public events representing the views and concerns of seniors, becoming the face of Juneau seniors, and whereas Bob hosted a radio show interviewing Juneau pioneers and sharing their stories, and whereas Bob was dedicated to ensuring that Juneau's older residents were treated with dignity and respect befitting elders who have contributed their time, energy, and ideas to building this community of ours. Whereas Bob could be found with many of those elders holding court from the bench in the Augustus Brown Pool Sauna, and whereas Bob's recent passing highlighted the life story of a man whose contributions to the communities of Juneau and Douglas span generations. Now, therefore, I, Merrill Sanford, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, on behalf of the City and Borough Assembly, do hereby recognize and celebrate in memory of Robert Bob Thibodeau as a citizen activist and champion of the rights and dignity of older people in the Juneau and Douglas communities. In witness whereof, I have hereto set my hand and cause the seal of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, to be affixed this 17th day of December 2012.
And I'm giving it to the real boss of the Thibodeau family. I have one other proclamation that we wanted to do tonight, and that is on the Gasnaw Fire Appreciation. Office of the Mayor, City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, proclamation, Gasnaw Fire Appreciation.
Whereas on Monday evening, November 5th, 2012, a fire broke out at the Gasnaw Apartments on Franklin Street, and whereas Capital City Fire and Rescue and the Juneau Police Department personnel were quickly on scene, and whereas, as word of the fire spread, staff of Bartlett Regional Hospital readied themselves for the potential fire victims, and whereas, due to Capital City Fire Rescue's and JPD's quick response, residents of the apartment building were able to get out safely with no loss of life or major injuries. And whereas the Red Cross began their volunteer efforts, which carried over for several days to ensure each victim of the fire had a warm place to stay and the services they needed. And whereas the citizens and businesses of Juneau came out in mass to donate goods or volunteer their time or services where needed. Now, therefore, I, Merrill Sanford, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, on behalf of the City and Borough Assembly, wish to give a heartfelt thank you to the full selfless first responders and numerous volunteers who once again remind us what a wonderful and caring community we live in. In witness whereof, I hereto set my hand and cause the seal of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, to be affixed this 17th day of December 2012. And we have a whole big list of who we're going to send this to. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Okay, Madam Manager, we have Terry Hinckley.
Yes, and I'd like to ask Brent Fisher to please come up along with Terry. You have to come up here, too.
You don't get senior citizen exemption, Terry.
First of all, thank you very much, Mr. Mayor and Assembly, for allowing us the opportunity to be present tonight. And it's hard enough to get Terry to get here, so he's a shy guy. So, of the 28 years with the City and Borough of Juneau, it's been an honor and a pleasure for the last 19 years to work with Terry. So Terry started his career with the city in July of 1984 as a groundskeeper assistant and worked his way up as a landscaping supervisor in 1995. Since then, Terry not only oversees the maintenance and care of about 24 acres of turf in 32 locations, over 3,200 trees and shrubs, and over 16,000 flowers. You see Terry's handiwork all throughout the borough, at the airport, Centennial Hall, Juneau Police Station, the fire stations, and throughout the downtown area, with numerous flower beds, hanging baskets, flower barrels, and beautiful flowers along Egan Drive. One of Terry's other duties is to oversee the Evergreen Cemetery, which is established in 1887. Were you there?
Yeah.
Okay. And actually, there are still active burials there today. Every summer, there are numerous visitors to Juneau looking for their relatives' final resting place, and Terry is there to help. Some of the words to describe Terry in his annual evaluations were pleasant, dedicated professional, quality workmanship, a positive public image, and especially effective with the challenge of dealing with grieving family members. I found all these to be true, plus more. So when asked what his greatest accomplishment was, Terry said it was being a good steward of the landscape for the community of Juneau. So Terry, Juneau is a beautiful place to visit, live, work, and recreate because of you. So thank you for your dedicated service to the City and Borough of Juneau.
Congratulations.
You're just trying to sneak out everywhere.
Yeah. Thanks,
Terry.
Appreciate it.
Thank you,
Terry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for all your work.
Thank you, and enjoy your retirement.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry.
All right. Everybody look at Mr. Nankervis.
We're getting down to business now.
Welcome, Mr. Nankervis. All right, approval of minutes.
Mr. Mayor.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I request a suspension of the rule so that I can say a few words under special order of business.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. For those of you who are listening at home, you won't be able to see it, but I'm wearing some green and white ribbons pinned to my shirt. It was given to me today One of our Juneau school teachers has made these green and white ribbons. They're the colors of the Sandy Hook Elementary School, and they're to honor the memory of the victims and their families. And she has made ribbons for the assembly and asks that you consider wearing them for a day in memory of these people. And you can pass them that way, and I'll take these. There's also one for the city manager, the city attorney, and the city clerk. So pass a couple up this way.
Thank you.
The I think it's fitting that the community civic leaders share in the expression of support for the families and the loss of the children. So thank you for that opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. We all appreciate it very much.
And the teacher was Tara Doxy from Riverbend.
All right, thank you, Mr. Wanamaker.
Mr. Mayor, just along those lines, hopefully people are aware, but there is Northern Lights Church. There will be a sort of service and vigil, I think it's Wednesday night from 6 to 8. Mm-hmm. I know we will be in a committee meeting, but I know that a lot of people, I've gotten several calls about it, and I would encourage people if they want to attend that.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Appreciate it. Anybody else on that topic? All right, we'll move forward to the approval of minutes. The November 26, 2012 regular assembly meeting. Are there any corrections? Any changes? Any objection to their being approved? Hearing or seeing none, the November 26, 2012 regular assembly meeting 2012-31 is approved. The December 5th special assembly meeting. Any corrections or changes? Seeing or hearing none, is there any objections to their approval? So ordered, Madam Clerk. And manager's request for agenda changes, Madam Manager.
Yes, I just have one change that you won't see in your agenda, and that's the change. Last assembly meeting, we had Ordinance 2012-47, an ordinance designating a tax foreclosed property located at 650 St. Anne's Avenue for a public purpose. That was supposed to be for a public hearing today. There's special requirements and advertising requirements that have to be done when we foreclose on our property. And the timing, we weren't able to get those that required advertising done in time for tonight's meeting. So that we will hear that most likely at the next assembly meeting, which will be January 7th.
Any questions for the manager? Thank you, Madam Manager. And now we'll move forward to public participation on non-agenda items. We have two people signed up. They'll get 5 minutes each. Mike Peterson. Mr. Peterson, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is Mike Peterson, and I live at 724 5th Street over in Douglas. Happy to hear all the chatter up there about Douglas. Well, it's a somber topic, and it's gun control. I want to read for you the Second Amendment, as ratified by the states and authenticated by Thomas Jefferson, Secretary of State. It says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's pretty simple. I spent Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday doing Christmas things, and after I got done with the social amenities, the people that I met, my friends, I'd ask them this question. I says, is it possible or can you have a meaningful conversation or dialogue about gun control? not only on a national level, but where the politics start on a local level. And I got a wide range of answers from you can't, just flat out, you cannot have a meaningful conversation about it. To, well, a place to start would be to find a common ground, and a common ground in this case would be that what occurred at the Sandy Hook Elementary School was bad. I think everybody can agree on that, that that would be a place to start a dialogue. To another response was, no matter what kind of a conversation you begin to have in this community or any community in the United States, the NRA will stop it dead in its tracks. The NRA grades state legislatures, I found out, and the legislatures work very hard to keep and get a high grading point for a good grade point for the NRA for funding reasons. And then someone said, well, I can't answer that, but how come I can't buy a bazooka, I can't buy a Scud missile, but I can walk into a store and I can buy an assault rifle, and I can become a walking weapon of small mass destruction? And then also I got the classic, guns don't kill people, people kill people. So there's a wide range. I'm here because I believe that you can have a meaningful conversation and a dialogue in this community about gun control. I think you have to try. You at least have to try for the memory of what occurred on Friday. I think for something to occur and change on a national level, it has to begin on a local level. So I'm putting myself out there and saying that I would be available to I'm asking the assembly to think about whether one meeting or several meetings held downtown or in the valley or a task force, but to join on this, what appears to be a swell across the country about initiating meaningful dialogue about gun control. And that's all I have. That's my comment. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Are there any questions for Mr. Peterson? Seeing none, thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you.
Mr. Haight? Good to see you this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. For the record, my name is Glenn Haight, and I live at 1514 Lincourt with my family. My wife, Sunny, and I have five children, Seth, Jocelyn, Savannah, Allison, and Stephen. These comments here are made on behalf of my wife and myself. On June 23rd, our daughter, Savannah Casey, was fatally injured in an accident at Auk Lake. At the time of the accident, Savannah was being pulled on an inner tube behind a jet ski. Some estimate that the speed of the inner tube was being swung around a turn that could have reached upwards of 60 miles an hour or faster. That's the speed it was going at the time of the collision, and my daughter's head made full impact with the second jet ski. The impact was so severe and violent that the post-accident report indicated that some of her hair was retrieved from the marks left on the jet ski, and her brain was crushed against her brainstem. Savannah never regained consciousness that we know of. She was medevaced to Harborview Hospital in Seattle, where surgeons removed part of her skull and her brain in an attempt to stem the trauma. They could offer little hope of recovery, and on the morning of June 25th, she was declared legally brain dead. You should know a few things. While the 23rd of June was a busy day at the lake, at the time of the accident, JPD's report indicates there was only three motorized vehicles on the lake. One was a motorboat that claims they were off to the side. This was not a mixed-use accident. It was a motorized vehicle on motorized vehicle. While the state's district attorney acknowledges that the driver towed Savannah did appear to be negligent, he found that neither of the drivers of the jet ski were criminally negligent of homicide, the lightest finding they would seek in an instance such as this. As a parent and simply a responsible adult, I fully understand that we cannot always control careless behavior, especially in young people, but I understand that it is up to responsible adults in society to work as hard as we can to create a safe environment for them. Auk Lake is a wonderful place to be on a warm day. It also invites careless behavior simply because fun, fast watercraft are allowed open access in a relatively small area with very few restrictions and no enforcement. Having lived in Juneau my entire life, I know as well as anyone how few hot days we actually have in the summer. With management of the lake as it stands, it seems a foregone conclusion that someone would eventually be seriously hurt or killed. It was our child, but could have been yours. Without a change in these rules and the use and enforcement, it will likely happen again. In conversations with CBJ's Park and Rec Department, we understand they're involved in a process to review the rules governing the lake. We appreciate PNR's responsiveness in resolving this matter, especially that of Director Fisher. But we do not believe the city's efforts in this matter is commensurate to the situation. Within days of Savannah's death, people were back on the lake with jet skis and tow ropes, once again with no presence of enforcement. We find it horrifying that activity could have continued while an active police investigation was underway. I don't know what the best solution is in terms of management of the lake, but remain concerned that no additional funds have been allocated to help determine the safest course of action or for some kind of enforcement that is at best short-sighted and at worst continued negligence. This issue requires considered, deliberate review and expertise. My family is not interested in a hasty resolution, and unless the Assembly takes this matter seriously, more will die. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Those are our comments.
Mr. Haight, thank you very much. Are there any questions for Mr. Haight? Seeing none, thank you very much. All right. Public participation is closed. We'll move on to the consent agenda. Is there anybody out in the public who would request the consent agenda changes other than ordinances for introduction? Seeing none. Assembly requests for consent agenda changes? Seeing none. Assembly action, Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the consent agenda and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? So ordered. Thank you, Ms. Becker. We'll move forward to ordinance for introduction. Madam Clerk, will you please read the title of the first ordinance, 2012-44. I turned one page too far. Okay. Thank you.
Ordinance 2012-20X, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $138,500 as funding for the State Homeland Security Program, grant funding provided by the State of Alaska Department of Military and Veterans Affairs.
Thank you. Madam Manager, administrative report.
Yes, these funds would be used to support the goals and activities of the Emergency Management Program through funding of exercises, training, and equipment purchases. These include microwave data links for JPD and CCFR in the 911 system, statewide disaster exercise, Alaska Shield planning meeting travel, and incident command system positions, specific training for Juneau Emergency Operations Center command staff. The term of this grant is October 1st, 2012 through March 31st, 2014, and there is no match requirement for this grant. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance? Seeing none, assembly action. Mr. Dibdahl?
I'd like to move ordinance 2012-20X and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, ordinance 2012-20X has passed. Madam Clerk, ordinance 2012-20Y.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $275,000 as funding for the Juneau Douglas City Museum Remodel Capital Improvement Project, grant funding provided by the National Endowment for the Humanities.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager, admin report.
The grant funds would be used for an energy-efficient climate control system in the Juneau Douglas City Museum. There is no match requirement for the NEH grant. The Public Works and Facilities Committee heard this action at its October 29, 2012 meeting and recommended forwarding it to the Assembly for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing none, Assembly action. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move ordinance 2012-20Y and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. We'll move on to, Madam Clerk, Ordinance 2012-20Z.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $50,000 for the Mendenhall River Community School Renovation Capital Project. Funding provided by the Harborview Elementary School Renovation Capital Project, unexpended bond interest.
Madam Manager, Administrative Report.
Mendenhall River Community School was originally constructed in 1983, and major renovation has not occurred at this 58,000-square-foot elementary school, with the exception of a roof replacement in 2000. The school district is particularly interested in potential energy-efficient improvements, installation of security cameras, safety improvements to exterior fencing, improvements to special electrical systems, and replacement of worn-out finishes. Completion of a facility condition survey to assess architectural, site, civil, structural, mechanical, electrical, and hazardous materials is the next step in this project. The Juneau School Board recommended the $50,000 appropriation at its October 16, 2012 meeting. The Public Works and Facilities Committee heard this action at its October 29, 2012 meeting and forwarded to the Assembly for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wish to comment on this ordinance? Seeing none, Assembly action. Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move Assembly approval of Ordinance 2012-20Z and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so ordered. Madam Clerk, Ordinance 2012-44.
An ordinance providing for the issuance and sale of general obligation bonds in one or more series to provide net proceeds not to exceed $25 million and providing for the form and terms of the bonds and for unlimited tax levies to pay the bonds.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Administrative report, Madam Manager.
The voters authorized this bond issue on October 2, 2012. Also on October 2, 2012, the voters authorized the use of $10 million of sales tax proceeds to fund the first 5 years of debt service. The remaining debt service would be paid with property tax proceeds. Beginning in 2019, for a period of 15 years, the debt service would require an annual tax levy of $39 per $100,000 of assessed property value. This ordinance was reviewed by the Finance Committee with the assistance of CBJ Bond Council on December 5, 2012, and referred to the Assembly. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Public comment. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to comment on Ordinance 2012-44? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Ms. Crane?
I move adoption of Ordinance 2012-44 and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, so ordered. Unfinished business. New business. Madam Manager, liquor license protests.
On February 14, 2012, CBJ protested the 2012-2013 renewal of Peterson Pacific Holding DBA Louise Douglas Inn, location at 915 3rd Street, Douglas. The protest was upheld by the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, and the licensee appealed the ABC's board decision to the Office of Administrative Appeals. The administrative law judge held a hearing at which City Attorney John Hartle appeared on behalf of the CBJ and presented evidence on what was currently owing. The current status of that protest is that the administrative law judge now has the case under consideration and a decision is expected soon. If the appeal is denied, the matter goes back to the ABC board again to decide whether or not to take the license. If that does not happen, it will most likely take place at the February 14, 2013 ABC board meeting. Currently, concurrent to the administrative protest action, the CBJ Law Department has prosecuted a criminal case for which Mr. Peterson was sentenced on Friday, December 7, 2012, for 8 counts of sales tax violations. The time allowed per statute and code for mid-cycle protests has arrived, and we do not yet know the outcome of the current ongoing protest. So the Finance Department is recommending the Assembly protest the continued operation of this liquor license per CBJ 20.25.025. In the event the Assembly does not protest the continued operation of the liquor license, CBJ Code 20-25 requires notice with specificity regarding the nature and basis of the protest to be sent to the licensee and provides the licensee an opportunity to exercise their right in an informal hearing before the Assembly. A copy of that notice is included in your meeting packet. I recommend the Assembly protest the continuation of the beverage dispensary license number 673 for Peterson Pacific Holdings Incorporated, DBA, Louis Douglas Inn, based on the outstanding delinquent taxes, penalties, and interest.
Thank you, Madam Manager. We don't have anybody from Peterson Holding here, do we? Is anybody here from the liquor license holding? Peterson's, Douglas Inn? Thank you. Do we want to have anything from law on this, too? Do you need to say anything to us, Madam Lawyer?
I can, if anyone has any questions.
Okay, questions from the Assembly? Mr. Didbell.
Well, I was going to make a motion, but...
Let's go ahead, Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A question for perhaps the manager. So as I understand it, this is a mid-cycle protest between the first and second year of the operation of the license. Are there additional unpaid sales taxes being protested here, or are these the same unpaid sales taxes that are at issue before the administrative law judge at the state level right now?
I'm sorry, do you know? It's the same. It's the same. It's the same amount.
I guess just to clarify, is there any new amounts?
No.
Is the current taxes up to date besides the previous ones in the back? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Keel.
So then, as a follow-up to that, help me understand then the sort of, I mean, almost the second protest. Is this a legal belt and suspenders approach, or is this an important step to protect the city's interests? Help me understand, since we have a protest in process legally now, the importance of a second protest.
Do you want to answer?
Mr. Keel, looking at this in the current situation, and as the city manager read, there's an alcoholic beverage control board is reviewing it. If for some reason they were, you know, to allow the existing appeal, they denied the existing appeal and allowed the license to continue, we would come right back with this, saying, all right, well let's bring up the local government's opposition to the continuation at the mid-cycle. So it's kind of a belt and suspenders. We don't know the outcome. We have been to court. There has been an award. There is money's due. A payment plan has been proposed. And so we just have to make sure that compliance stays. So this just gives us a backup plan.
I could say a couple things. One is, of course, there still is an outstanding sales tax owed, so that would be the basis of continued protest. I did touch base today with the ALJ, Office of Administrative Hearings, to find out when we could expect a decision. And while the judge was out, his assistant said he could tell it was being worked on. That decision will go back to the board. I believe there's a 20-day comment period where the licensee can comment on that proposed decision. It goes back to the board, and basically the city's protest is upheld unless it was arbitrary, capricious, or unreasonable. So, you know, you can, and then it would go back to the board to decide whether to not renew the license. So I think in protesting now, again, we're simply being consistent with our position.
of our prior position, and the tax is still owed. And I also do, I can tell you, too, what we did get a judgment for over $54,000 that is to be paid. It's on a payment plan of $750 a month to begin in March.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a point of information for the manager or council. Have we ever been in this situation before? Have we come this far down the road to actually be in this position, or is this the first time this has happened in recent years with regard to collecting on a license?
I do not know. That is institutional knowledge that I do not have.
We have. With them too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I do believe that we have been, I don't know if we've gone this far with it, but I do know that we've been in this, we've been working with this current business for a number of years. This is not the first time that we have gone down additional, taken as many options as we could to try and move forward to get repayment.
And I guess just from a little bit of history, we have had businesses that haven't ever paid their tax, and we've gone all through the court system and had judgment against those businesses where the owner went to jail for a number of months. And so we've had these types of situations, not exactly like this, but similar to this with, go ahead.
I would like to just say that I think the law department is, I don't want to say to making this a high priority, but I think we are trying to look at this problem and recognize it as a source of revenue and trying to pursue more of these as much as our resources will let us pursue them.
Any other questions, Mr. Jones?
If we're successful in our protest, or I guess the ABC board is, does that take away the economic value of the license, or does that simply suspend his ability to operate, but he could sell the license as part of collecting the money to pay us? I raise that question because up in Anchorage they have one particular facility that I know some legislators or some local ones were looking at how they could actually take the value away so that the business couldn't sell. Does these licenses have an economic value? Mm-hmm. And so my question is if we're successful, does he maintain the economic value in that license, or is that taken away?
You know, I hesitate to say that without try to answer that without researching that, because I do not know for sure how that works.
Okay.
But I could certainly find out. Okay, Beth.
Come on up to the mic, Beth.
Thank you, through the chair. Mr. Jones, it does, when they do not renew the license then dies, and it cannot be sold, and it cannot be transferred. And there are a certain number of licenses of both the beverage dispensary license and the restaurant eating place license that are based on the number of population in your community. Once that license goes away, because of our population and the way the statutes were grandfathered, there's no likelihood that that license would be back in any time soon.
Thank you. Mr. Dibdahl?
Yes, I'd like to move that the assembly protest the continuation of the Beverly dispensary license number 673 for Peterson Pacific Holdings Incorporated, doing business as Louis Douglas Inn, based on the outstanding delinquent taxes, penalties, and interest. And I ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Thank you, Mr. Dibdahl. Staff reports. Madam Manager?
None, thank you.
Madam Lawyer?
No, thank you, Mayor.
I'm not going to ask the clerk this time. Okay, assembly reports. I have none from the mayor's report. Committee reports. Ms. Becker, Committee of the Whole.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At our last committee of the whole meeting, Mr. Watt gave us an update on the municipal drinking water supply plan. That was our only item of business.
Thank you. Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Public Works and Facilities Committee meeting all of the action items were taken care of in tonight's agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met about an hour and a half ago. We recommended reappointment of Linda Snow and Sylvia Harvey to the Douglas Advisory Board, both for terms expiring September 30th of 2015.
Are there any objections to that? Hearing none, so ordered.
The Human Resources Committee also recommended for the Juneau Commission on Aging appointment of Mr. Clifford Cole to a seat expiring June 30th of 2013.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered.
And finally, just informationally, we are working with the clerk's office to take a look at the resolution setting forth procedures and the booklet setting forth guidelines for the various advisory boards on which so many Juneau residents volunteer. And so we'll be working as a Human Resources Committee over our next meeting or two to give that a little polish and any updates that are needed.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Keel. And we have a big meeting on Wednesday.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We also, on this Wednesday, full assembly will sit as Human Resources Committee to interview applicants for most of our enterprise boards. In fact, all of them except Docks and Harbors. We'll be doing the Planning Commission, the Airport Board, and the Bartlett Regional Hospital Board. That meeting, as per usual, will be followed by a special assembly meeting, which you've scheduled to act on the HRC's recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. And your packets for the HR meeting should have been on your desk. If you didn't get one, make sure you check with the clerk's office. Ms. Crane.
Yes, finance. Sir. Our last finance committee meeting, we had a presentation from bond counsel and also a tutorial on bonds, which was very helpful. I would say that, again, based on tonight's meeting, we are looking at having a finance committee meeting, one meeting in January and also one in February. And on one of those meetings, we will also be getting some information on how we deal with sales tax problems, what the policies and the procedures are, so that we all really have an understanding of exactly what is happening when there are problems.
All right, that'll be an interesting one. Thank you, Ms. Green. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Lands Committee had a scheduled meeting for the 10th, but it was canceled. It's been rescheduled for January 14th.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll move on to liaison reports. Mr. Jones.
I'm learning from Docks and Harbors about what I need to report back to the assembly. The only thing that of sort of interest is that has come up both in testimony is they're trying to deal with the issue of the launch ramp permits, whether it's one per trailer, one per vehicle, one per boat. And the initial proposal was not met with very good results, and I think they'll be bringing it back up at the meeting on Thursday night. I don't know what's going to come out of that, but that seems to be one of the major issues before Docks and Harbor at this point. And I have nothing else, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jones. Mr. Nankervis.
Parks and Rec Advisory Committee met last Tuesday while we were down here doing other business, but I've been informed, I don't have the notes yet, but I'm informed they talked a little bit about a large group event protocol. They're experiencing some issues with large events where Parks and Rec staff have no idea that they're going on. I'll use what I call the Burning Man. They have a different name for it now. It's not the Burning Man, it's Raining Man, I think that's what they call it, or something like that, where they had 500 or some pallets out somewhere and let them off, and it took like 8 trips going back from staff just to clean up for those. So they're talking about having something similar, I believe, to what the police department has in like a parade permit type thing. If you're going to have a large event with, and this is just in the talking process right now. My number's not theirs. You're going to have over 100 people here. You probably need to get with Parks and Rec and tell them that you're going to be using their facility with over 100 people, that sort of thing. And it's just in the development stage yet, in the discussion stage. They also had a mapping update on the OHV or ORV, off-road vehicle area that's out by Point Bridget. That was in their last minutes. If you go online, you can get a look at the map that shows what they've got out there, basically what they've got out there and where to use it. This coming January 8th, the staff is going to present to the PRAC an Auk Lake management plan. That's the staff's recommendation. It's going to the public or Parks and Rec Advisory Committee. And then on January 29th, the PRAC will have a special meeting to address the Auk Lake management plan, how they're going to look at it.
Okay. That's all I have. On January 8th, is that the date scheduled for the housing, Mr.?
Yes,
it is.
Okay. Is that going to conflict with what we're doing?
Well, I believe
the housing issue?
Parks and Rec staff is going to be presenting this to the PRAC.
Okay.
So I don't think it will affect with my attendance, I'm sure, but I don't think theirs.
Clarification, the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee, I think, meets at 6 o'clock at night.
Okay.
Right now, last I heard, the housing was an 8 to 5-ish.
9
to 5.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fine. I just want to make sure we didn't have any conflicts there. Mr. Smith?
No report, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Dibdahl?
Yeah, the airport board met on the 12th, December 12th. And they have a non-smoking ordinance that they'll be working with the law department and becoming the assembly's way. Also, Mr. Mayor, you were there to present a certificate of appreciation to Catherine Fritz after 30 years of service to the CBJ. And other than that, that was my first meeting with the airport board, and I thought they ran a very efficient meeting. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Dibdahl. Ms. Crane?
Nothing this evening.
Mr. Keel?
Nothing tonight. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Wanamaker?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The school board will meet on January 3rd. I haven't had a meeting with them since the last one, so January 3rd is the next one. The Juneau Economic Development Council has held a mining cluster group working committee meeting tonight where various organizations discuss ways to improve support for the mining industry locally by improving the supply of services and vocational training for local training and local hire. And it's all in the planning stages on how to better support our local mining industry. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Alaska Committee met last week, and we discussed basically the legislative reception. And we also want to make sure everyone knows that our annual meeting will be the 19th of January at the airport in that conference room. It'd be a nice place to have that. Is this a place for the ad hoc housing?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Just to announce that our next meeting of the ad hoc housing committee will be this Thursday at 1 o'clock, and we're going to be talking about how the organization of all the people we're trying to get together, how that's going.
Friday.
Beg pardon?
Is it Friday or Thursday?
Oh, it's a Thursday. Did I get the wrong date?
No,
Thursday. No, Thursday. Is that 21st?
21st is a Friday.
Is it?
I think it is Friday.
It's Friday.
Friday.
Did we say Friday? I thought we were having it on Thursday. Mr. Maker, which one are we having it on? We have
Friday.
Friday?
Okay. Friday is what we discussed.
Well, I have the 21st. If that's Friday, I guess that's what we're doing.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. The 21st, okay. Thank you. And the January 8th date might still be in the flexible date time. We're going to get more information at this Friday meeting, the 21st, at 1 o'clock here. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Do we have any presiding officers? I think we've Mr. Dibdahl?
Yeah, we just have one that will be addressed under executive session. That's for the 16B appeal.
Okay. Thank you. I think other than that, we're pretty well cleaned up all the appeals, didn't we, Madam Manager?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so, too. Well, that's good. We had three or four, and we're cleaning them up. Okay, so no other presiding officer. Assembly comments and questions? Mr. Jones?
Just a couple. I was wondering if, just for my information, if we could I could get a some kind of a status report on where we are on the rules for the Auk Lake. I'm not sure where that is in the process, except what I've read in the paper, and I can't remember.
That was my update for the prep.
Oh. Did I not hear? I apologize.
January 8th.
Okay, January 8th. Okay. That's it.
Okay. Mr. Nan Curvis.
I just have one question. We already made a motion on it, and that was the liquor license thing. I did some quick math, and that came out to me, my math, it's old school math, came out to be a 10-year repayment plan to recover that $54,000, and I was just curious how many years that accrued over, whether that was a 10-year accrual or a 3-year accrual. But if it's 3-year, that'd be a shame, because you're playing the game and winning that way, and that would be unfortunate. That's my only comment.
Save that question for finance committee.
Just what I was going to say, Mr. Nankervis. If when we go through the issues with taxes there, you'll see how much interest is accrued and everything, and it's not equal by any means. The penalties and the interest on all these different things are very steep. So, Mr. Smith. Okay.
No comments, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Dibdahl?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Ms. Crane?
Nothing. Thank you.
Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have one announcement that I'd like to make. I learned the other week that a member of our community received a very prestigious award. I think most of you on the assembly and a lot of people in the community know Mr. Rafi Castaños, who is a leader within the Filipino community. He received recently from the government of the Philippines, and I'm sure I'll get this terribly wrong, the Banag Award, which is a very prestigious award in the Republic of the Philippines. Was given to him by the president himself with an invitation to meet with him at the palace in Manila, and it's a real point of pride that someone in our community has earned such a remarkable award, and so I'm delighted to report that Mr. Castaños won that, and he does a great credit to our community.
Yep. Mr. King, thank you.
On another topic, I know that my email has certainly lit up since the terrible events in Connecticut, and we had testimony tonight asking that the community have a real conversation, a serious conversation, and I think that's a good idea. I think that's very healthy for our community to do. At the same time, I think our expectations and the public's expectations of its city government and its assembly need to be realistic. And there is a state law that severely limits what city governments, municipal governments in Alaska can do when it comes to regulating in just about any way the ownership, use, type, et cetera, of firearms. In 2005, it was House Bill 184, and it unequivocally, explicitly reserved to the state the regulation of firearms. And I won't quote the law, I won't read it here, but in terms of the calls for action that are coming, I know to all of us from our community, our hands are tied by that state law. It does not mean that there's nothing we can do. It certainly does not prevent a good conversation as a community. It also doesn't mean that we can't take a serious look at the steps that our community can take to be a healthier place, to deal better with those who suffer from mental illnesses. And I think that's an important part of the conversation. But it's also important that folks in Juneau know what is and isn't possible for municipalities in Alaska. So I thought that I would raise that here tonight as an opportunity for folks to learn that.
Thank you, Mr. Keel, very much. Mr. Wanamaker?
Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am surprised that Mr. Wanamaker didn't talk about the wonderful things he's been doing, because I've been doing them with him, and so have you, on some of them. We were guests for KTOO, as we talked about graduation, ways to get our students to graduation, and that was an extremely interesting conversation, which included a number of young people who had great ideas, and I hope the community has been able to hear and watch the KTO presentation, because I thought it was quite good. And Mr. Wanamaker and I also today attended the Electoral College event, which was very interesting, and I had never been to one before. And we watched the three representatives cast their votes for the Republican candidate. And they were sealed, and it was very official, very interesting, very interesting. So, thank you for joining me with all those, Mr. Wanamaker and Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. All right, continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to address the Assembly on non-agenda items? Last chance. All right, we need to go into executive session. Madam Manager, go ahead.
Before we go into executive session, there's information that I can share before we have to go into executive session about budget.
Okay.
So I'd like to do that before I ask that we go into executive session.
Yes, Madam Manager. And what we're doing is we're trying to put out all the information from the budget that has to do with the two items that are covered in executive session, which are contract negotiations and appeal. But we want to discuss the things that are open in an open meeting here process first, and that's what the manager and Mr. Bartholomew are going to do.
Actually, a number of us. Which one do you have up first? So where we are right now, this time of the year is when we start putting together the budget overview and directives for departments. And as part of that process, we look at where we are in the current year. So if we look at FY13, which Bob will get up there in a second, we're estimating right now that the current adopted budget, our revenues will be about $800,000 below what we had thought. And we've talked to you before about this, that it's basically our interest income revenue that's we projected too high for that. It's come in less, in the magnitude of approximately $800,000. We believe that we can make up that $800,000 within the FY13 budget, because we never spend the full amount that you adopt for us, because we have staff turnover, costs don't come out the way we anticipated them, et cetera. So we believe that we can, with a little more belt tightening and keeping positions open longer, be able to incorporate or be able to take care of that $800,000. Of course, we don't know how we'll end up with our snow year, and if we'll have to come back with an appropriation to fund more money into streets and fleet. If we have a lot of snow, their costs, as you know, go up for hauling snow, for contracting, for fuel. And usually we come back to you in April if we need to do an appropriation to make sure they're whole for their budget. So I reserve that opportunity to come back to you in April if we need to make sure we take care of them not spending any more than what was appropriated. As far as the FY14 operating budget, we balanced the budgets this last year with direction from the Assembly. And basically, the Assembly at the time directed us to balance the budgets, and we looked at the two-year operating budgets. And the motion that was made on March 6th was to balance the budgets using three different avenues. One is to not to be able to increase the mill rate not above 8 mills combined for operating debt, use a one-time monies not to exceed $1 million for both fiscal years, and do additional operational cuts. At that point, when we talked to the Finance Committee in March, we'd already made approximately $4.8 million in reductions. When the Assembly passed the budget for adopted the FY13 budget and approved the FY14 budget, they did so with no mill increase for 13 because we had additional money that came in from the state, so that mill rate did not go up for this year. It was adopted or approved for 14 with an increased mill rate of 0.23. Addition to FY14, the same thing we are facing in FY13 is we have $800,000 in investment income that we projected too high, so we're going to have to reduce that. So we have less money in 14, and you can see on what, hopefully you can see that.
No.
Okay.
Madam Manager, could you just go back over one statement? You said the operation and debt service wasn't going to be above?
Above 11. 11 total.
Good. I mean, you said 8.
But. Oh, I said 8. I'm sorry. 11 total.
Good.
What was I looking at? No. It was 11. We're a long ways from there. Thank you for clarifying that for me. So what we have that you can't see, and I apologize for that, and is that when we had the approved budget, we estimated there would be about $932,000 left after both budgets were complete. So we're proposing that $800,000 that we think will be short for 14 from interest income come out of that $932,000, which would leave us a total of $132,000 left to the good still at the end of 14. The other thing that's really important for you to know is that we still have 24 positions that are not funded within the current operating budget. Those are positions that we need to have and that have been, in some cases, some of those positions have not been funded for, this would be the third year for a couple of them. Most of them were not funded in 12. Have not been funded in 13 and are not planned on being funded in 14. Those include senior planner at CDD, code compliance specialist in CDD, an admin person in Parks and Recreation, a number of police department staff, a sergeant, lieutenant, police officers, police dispatch, admin assistant, and then two equipment operators. The total salary and benefits for those 24 positions is approximately $1.5 million. That's what we did not include. That's what we cut in the budget. And all those reductions were made because positions became open. And that was the direction that we received from the Assembly. When positions came open, instead of doing layoffs, you said leave those positions open. So these are the positions that came open during the time we were looking at reducing the budget. The other thing that we have facing us in FY14 is we have all three unions that are negotiating their contracts, their three-year contracts. We're trying to get them all on a calendar or a fiscal year to start on July 1, which makes a lot of sense. We also would like to try and look at three-year contracts, and that's what we will talk to you about in an executive session. But to give you an idea of what a 1% across the board for all CBJ employees, the cost of that is approximately $513,000. The other piece that we need to look at, which is something new that we haven't looked at in the past, is the reserve fund. The Assembly passed the resolution to create the reserve fund, directed staff to have 2 months of revenue in that. That's approximately $17 million. As you know, $5 million that will be made up based on the October election where the voters voted to put $5 million into that fund. And that will get us approximately to $17 million, which is where we need to be right now. We're fine as we look forward to 14 because we're hitting that target. As our revenues grow, that number will need to grow. So every year, we'll come back to you as we bring you the budget and talk to you about what we need to put into that fund. The other fund that we need to bring back some direction for you and ask for your support on it is to create a fund balancer, as they call in Anchorage, our working capital fund. They estimate 3% of their operating budget goes into a capital fund. And that capital fund funds those things that we can't take out of the reserve, which is where we used to fund things. So it takes, if we are bad at estimating our revenues, we can take it out of that fund. If there's big snow years, we take it out of that fund. If there's high electric costs that we didn't budget for, it comes out of that fund, because none of those qualify for reserve funding. So it gives us that safety net that we need to have from an operational standpoint. And so we would look at somewhere between $3 to $5 million to have in there. That's what we used since 2010 to balance our budget. We've used that fund balance. That's how we've been able to fill some of our holes, as well as the reductions that we took each year, as well as keeping these positions open each year. We use that fund balance to help lessen that impact to the operations of CBJ. So that's where we are right now. That's what I can talk about right now. What I would request is, I need direction from the Assembly on how to move forward for negotiations, and I would request that we do that in executive session if there's no questions before on the information I've provided.
Questions, comments? Would you like me to make a motion on the balance of the budget without the mill rate dollar in there now or later?
I think that can be part of the discussion later.
Okay. I'll do it afterwards. Madam Becker, will you please move us into executive session?
Yes. I move that we go into executive session, the purpose for which would directly affect the finances of our city. Those matters are contract negotiations and appeal USE 2011-030 cruise ship dock appeal.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to object to us going into executive session? Thank you very much. Does anyone wish to comment on the objection?
Mr. Keel, Mr. Mayor, perhaps we could hear from the Law Department on the propriety of the executive session for the two topics that the Deputy Mayor described.
Thank you.
Certainly. Just to clarify, as far as the appeal, the Open Meetings Act doesn't even apply when the body is sitting in their quasi-judicial capacity to make a decision. So there's no need to even make it part of an executive session motion. So that would be appropriate. And the Open Meetings Act clearly provides for the Assembly to go into executive session to give direction to the labor negotiator regarding handling pending labor negotiations. And under the state law, that would labor negotiations clearly have an adverse effect upon finances of the public entity.
Thank you. Is there any objection to us then going into executive session from the Assembly? So ordered, we'll go into executive session. Thank you. And it will take us probably half hour, 45 minutes.
How long do you think it will go?
Probably. If you've got school things that need to be signed, that now would be a good time to have them signed.
Yeah, we'll take a 5-minute break here.
You don't want to sit out there during class.
This is KTOO Juneau. You have been listening to live coverage of the CBJ Assembly meeting. They're going into executive session, so we're going to return to normal programming at this time. Thank you.